Hey there, folks. You're listening to CKUW 95.9 FM at the University of Winnipeg, Treaty 1 Territory. This is Eat Your Arts and Vegetables, an Arts Talk radio show. I'm one of your co-hosts today, Zoe LeBrun, and with me is...
Co-host Eric Breckner. I was just having a little problem with the jack for the headphones. It wasn't working, but we're okay now.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Couldn't hear you there for a second. I thought, oh, how am I going to do the interview if I can't hear you? It's cold out there, huh?
Brutally.
Yeah.
Brutally cold.
And we're both from Manitoba.
Yeah, I don't like it.
Yeah.
But we have one guest who braved the cold to come to the studio today.
Yes, and they're not even like from Winnipeg. They're you know, originally from Europe actually. But today we have Monica Vrechar. Not bad.
Pretty good.
Monica is the director of the media lab at the Faculty of Arts at the University of Manitoba. I've known her very informally, like for a few years. She teaches a little bit at the School of Arts and has a PhD in film studies, right?
Or cultural studies. PhD in actually art theory, and my PhD was in media theory.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So, which kind of fits a little bit with our topic that we're going to probably discuss, but you've been... leading this series of talks on AI that have been happening in combination with the Faculty of Arts and other institutions. And we recently had Trevor Peglin at Plugin and then at the School of Art, and it was an interesting talk. And you got more coming up, and I thought, you know, why don't we have you come and talk about them? So here we are.
Yeah, amazing. Thanks so much for having me.
Of course. Glad to have you here. Maybe I don't know where to start. Like, if you want, maybe talk about, like, because we're now in the middle of the series now, and maybe you want to just talk about how things have gone so far and what's coming up, perhaps.
Yeah, definitely. So you mentioned that I'm director of Media Lab at Faculty of Arts, and you know, the hot topic now is AI, right?
Yeah.
For one reason, because everybody. A lot of students are using it now, and a lot of professors are like dealing with consequences of students using AI, right?
Well, you know, particularly for the professors that are having to grade papers, right? Like, it's a huge thing. I mean, I'm a studio professor, so I don't have to deal with that much. But I mean, I'm having to deal with like any students that are making media art that I have to like say, like, show me your assets folder. How did you make this? You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's more like it's a little bit easier than having to fight through the did they write this or not? You know,
yeah, definitely.
It's really hard for you guys.
Yeah. And so when I took over Media Lab last year, I thought, okay, well, everybody's having this problem, and I've been interested for a long time in intersection of art and science. And mm-hmm. so I know, I've known like a lot of artists that actually work with AI creatively, mm-hmm. And also kind of subversively and, you know, critically. And so I thought, you know, as McLuhan said, artist is an antenna of our society. So I thought, artists are probably some of the best people to tell us something about this new technology. And so to get, you know, money to pull off this event, I should mention, we applied for this big grant with Strategic Initiative Support Fund of University of Manitoba. And we got this grant for the project, which we called Beyond the Prompt, Generative AI Creativity and Responsibility. And this project, I should mention, is led by Dr. David Watt, who's chair of the Department of English Theater, Film, and Media. And I'm a project coordinator for the initiative. So we've had a bunch of events already happen in the fall. We had some collaboration with Faculty of Education with Amir Mikhailovich there. He programmed several hybrid talks about AI in education and digital literacies and so on. And then we actually also had a podcasting workshop, because we thought, you know, a lot of professors might be interested in giving students alternative assignments, no longer writing assignments, right?
Yeah, well, that's why I hear what's happening now, right? Is that instead of relying so much on the research paper, it's now having students do in-class presentations and things like that now.
Definitely, yeah. It's kind of returning back to this, like, traditional scholarship of, you know, the oral dialogue, right? A lot more. But obviously, technology can help us with that as well.
Absolutely.
Right?
In a good way. That doesn't necessarily give them an easy way out. It just maybe it can be used as a research tool.
Yeah, well, I mean, definitely, we have to be careful with that, right?
Yeah,
just because, like, I'm always emphasizing, I'm teaching actually contemporary art history this semester, and I'm always emphasizing to my students that I don't care about that much about grammar and how polished your sentences are and all that. Like, to me, the important thing is
new ideas.
So that's what I'm focusing on. And I actually gave everybody the same topic for the assignment this time, so that, like, you know, if 30 people uses ChatGPT to
do it,
you're
going to get the exact same paper.
Exactly. It's going to be kind of a...
Yeah, it's like interesting. It's really interesting how, like, these three people gave you the exact same paper.
Well, it's usually more than three, to be honest. But hopefully, I don't know. Hopefully, we're kind of, like, starting.
Well, that's a good idea, actually. It's
Yeah,
because I know somebody who's also teaching taught art history last term, and there were a few that, it's like he came out of retirement for a while just to come and do one course just once. And
oh, cool.
And it was kind of his first time having to deal with it. And so, he was...
Came back to a very different world.
Yeah.
Very different education.
He hadn't taught before COVID, so...
Oh, God, yeah. I mean, during COVID, everything changed. Yeah. And actually, you know Jonah, my partner, Korn, he teaches film at the University of Manitoba. And Jonah and I actually did podcasts for his courses during COVID.
Oh.
So we back then learned that actually having a students listen to conversation rather than like a recorded lecture, on like video is like they loved it much more.
Yeah, yeah.
It was much
more
engaging.
I did the same thing. Like I was doing this large lecture course, math and art, and I was just doing it live, and I had a camera pointing down to my table and a camera pointing at me, and I would switch back and forth, and
Cool.
And Zoe remembers that course. It was kind of a painful course, Zoe.
I got to do it pre-COVID though, luckily.
So
math and art. I can imagine how that, I like messy, you know, messy art.
That's cool. Yeah, and these past events, like, how do you like? Because there's been several talks already. How were those received by the public? Were they well attended? What do people have to say so far about the lectures?
The talk for Trevor Paglen at Plugin was packed.
It was absolutely.
It was insane. I think it was the most people I've ever seen for all the talks I've ever seen at Plugin.
All talks were pretty well attended. The one we did in collaboration with Plugin. And co-sponsorship actually also with Plugin was absolutely packed. I think more than 200 people showed up to
That's a lot of people.
And then we had a pretty good turnout also at the seminar with Trevor Paglen the next day at School of Art. Because if we were thinking, okay, if we bring in this huge artist and, you know, he has a lot to say on this topic, let's do two events, you know, because like once you get a person in already and they charge a certain amount, then they charge a little bit more and they give you another full event. So that was, I think that was very successful. Other events so far also, like there was a good turnout. People, I feel, crave coming back, you know, into kind of in-person communication and like I don't know, like I feel
and just to interrupt, but the event at Plugin, it was interesting, like you saw like a broad range from the arts and culture community. Like it was like there were dance people, there were, you know, obviously the film and theater and literature people and visual art people. So he pulled quite a range.
Yeah, and it's interesting that there are so many people who are coming in person to talk about this digital phenomenon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
because it applies to everything, right?
Yeah.
That's the thing. Like, it affects all industries. It affects education. It affects the government processes. It affects basically how we do research, how we find knowledge, how we shape it. It just affects everything. So it's everybody's interested in it, right?
Yeah.
And I feel the more you can make it exciting, in a sense, the more people kind of want to learn about it, because I think it's important that people do learn how it works and how it affects us, how, you know, what the impact it has, you know, ethically, environmentally, you know, even in creative industries, all those things, right? So, yeah, but basically, I don't know.
You've got Let me know. 14 minutes.
Okay. Let me know, because I guess we want to talk about the events that are coming up
as
well.
Yes,
but
whenever you like to, so we'll let you decide.
Oh yes, absolutely. So, the one event that I would really like people to come out and see is event with this amazing Oglala Lakota artist and scholar and composer Suzanne Kite. If you haven't heard of her, you should really Google this person, because she's amazing. She does amazing work. In her talk that we're organizing is going to be called "Dreaming into Systems: Lakota Semiotics and AI." And so this is going to be next Saturday at Video Pool, so downtown.
Yeah.
So it's not at U of M campus. It's going to be downtown and on Saturday. So hopefully people will have time to come.
Inside the Art Space building?
Art Space building, January 31st, 1:30 p.m. So it's going to be nice, like right after lunch you can come and check it out. And I think it's going to be really interesting. And then it's going to be followed by a little panel that's organized by Mark Mager from Architecture, Faculty of Architecture. So he's a professor there. And he's also been working some creative projects with AI, like following urban life, urban animals, kind of like movement. And stuff. And then, so he has like really interesting projects that he's been doing.
So he's using AI to
well.
Track animals?
Yes, exactly.
Like migration paths?
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. He will be going to be explaining it much better on Saturday, but like he's doing like really cool stuff as well with AI. So hopefully he'll talk about this a little bit after Suzanne Kite gives her presentation.
So is he kind of going to do like a live interview with Suzanne Kite? Or?
The way we're hoping for this to take shape is Suzanne's going to do her presentation, and then we're going to have Mark, and he's planning to bring a couple more students that have been actually working with Suzanne on these projects that she's going to be talking
exciting.
About. And so they're going to have a little discussion, and we're going to ask Suzanne if she wants to participate in the discussion, or maybe she's going to just be in the audience. And But in any case, it should be interesting. Yeah,
it sounds really fun.
Yeah.
I'm just reading a little synopsis of the talk, and Kite will be exploring dreaming as a method of knowledge production, which is really exciting. And it's going to be interesting to see how like discussions of how to like dive into AI are incorporated, because AI tends to be kind of like a dream in some ways, where like, how do you tell you're in a dream? Things are just a little off. Like
right.
Is like a little weird, or they have a weird number of fingers that is normal, or whatever.
Yeah, or something like, taken out of context. Yeah.
Yeah, my cat doesn't have human hands.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, totally. I think that's really. I mean, when I saw this project that she's doing, I thought that was so cool. But then it's even more cool because she draws from Lakota cosmology. When she's composing these dream systems, and she's kind of like bringing attention to also the nature of AI that it is now, and how it can basically change into better, how it can change into something better, because right now it's it's kind of, I guess she puts it, it can be kind of racist, it can be kind of biased, it can, it's not, you know, like, she says that, like, any good AI, it has to, you know, include indigenous philosophies in shaping it in a more like a responsible way.
So ultimately, AI is going to have the biases of the programmers.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Of the programmers and also data that it feeds.
Yeah. Like I would be curious just in terms of like what would the demographics of all the programmers involved with the making and I guess can we say, I don't know if we can use the word improving, but developing AI, right? I mean it's I bet you like it's like high numbers in terms of white.
Definitely.
You know, so it's like.
Yeah, and that creates blind corners and you're just not even like aware necessarily of your own biases and that's normal. But yeah, it's cool to kind of unmask those things and and then we have a couple more really interesting. Both also scholars, engineers, and artists coming in March. So on March 6th, we're going to be hosting a remote lecture. It's going to be on Zoom, and we're going to also, people will be able to tune in, just online. And we're hosting Tega Brain. She's a professor at NYU's Tandon School of Engineering, and her work also examines how automated systems and AI are reshaping ecological thinking. So she's actually developing this model of practice that she calls eccentric engineering. And this is very much based on critiquing technologies as they are and kind of like trying to subvert some of the engineering that's embedded in them and just kind of critically examine it. She's doing a lot of interesting kind of fun projects that are that expose what we were talking about, like the kind of downsides and ecological ethical impacts of these technologies. So I'm a fan of her. And then on March 27th, this is going to be the last last speaker coming in. We're going to be welcoming Iranian German, also artist, composer, and engineer Mizag Azimi. And his work, very interesting guy as well. His work explores creative uses of AI in music. And he's actually created his own AI program for experimental music performances. So hopefully he's going to do a bit of a performance and also like then talk a little bit about what he's doing. And
is this talk on Zoom too as well?
This one is going to be live. I'm trying to actually, I know people love to just hear like, oh, I'm just going to watch it on Zoom. But whatever we could do live, I was pushing for live. Pushing for in person.
Well, I think particularly if he's going to,
do a performance. Yeah,
I think it'd be.
Yeah,
great.
I was pushing for in person. He's probably also gonna do. We're gonna record also a podcast with him that we're gonna then publish on our YouTube channel.
Great.
But for the talk and the performance, I think we're just gonna have it live because then people kind of have to commit, And then if you miss it, you miss it. Like you have to. I think it's good to have a little bit of that as
well. Yeah, absolutely.
Right?
So for the March 27th talk with Azimi, has it been determined where the venue is going to happen?
This is going to happen. Yeah, so the Tega Brain event and Mizag Azimi is going to be on campus, actually, on U of M, probably at School of Art.
Oh, great.
But we're going to try to get music involved as well.
Yeah.
I mean,
the Faculty of Music has a person that got a Guggenheim fellowship like a few years ago, and he's working with AI as well.
Oh, okay, amazing. Yeah, yeah. I don't even, you'll connect me after the show.
Sure. Or you can just say his name now. It's Orion Sondrad.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know him, but.
We'll get you connected to Orion.
Amazing. I would love that. Yeah. Cool. Yeah.
Okay.
So fun.
I just like, if we're finished talking about the upcoming events, I'd just like to mm-hmm. mention one thing, like this this one with Tega and Massad, the ecological thinking. I going back to Trevor Peglin's talk, and somebody said in the audience, I believe it was Seamus Gallagher, MFA student, and I would say a person who was shortlisted actually for the Sobey Awards, but he asked about, like, well, what are the AI companies saying about extraction resource? And do you remember Trevor's answer to that?
No, do you?
Roughly. And they were kind of sort of justifying as sort of saying, well, you know, AI is going to do all these great things, so it's kind of worth it.
Right. Yeah, that sounds familiar. That sounds about right. That sounds about right.
So I mean, I'm not quoting Trevor exactly, but I feel like, I'm going like, ooh, I don't know if that's a good thing.
It's definitely one perspective to have on the issue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
I think it's interesting because we had one of the speakers that came in who was actually talking about assessment literacy in the age of AI, Michael Holden. He actually teaches at U of W. And he said that, I wish I remember exactly. But he said that, like, you know, maybe like doing one prompt is equivalent, like the resources are equivalent of like watching 6 minutes of Netflix. So that was like, oh my God. Okay. Because we think, you know, now with AI and stuff is all the rage, and we think like, oh, and now the, you know, the resources are going to the, but actually it's not like we're not already, you know, I'm not going to say wasting, but like spending incredible amount of resources for, you know, like scrolling on our phones, you know, which pulls data from all over the place, you know, from these huge servers that, of course, use a lot of energy to store data and cool down all these processors and stuff. And everything. Yeah. So we should be actually aware that, like, all that, every technological thing that we do, even before AI, has been like, you know, we've been using a lot of resources for it. So, you know, in a sense, like, AI is just kind of continuation of that trend.
Yeah,
something to keep in mind for sure.
Yeah. Hey, listen, so you gave a bunch of information, which I thought was really great, about all the upcoming talks. Is there a place where people could find the information?
Yes, absolutely. Please follow us on our Instagram. It's the Instagram is UM Media Lab. And then if you want to directly ask a question or, you know, ask more information about the events, it's on our email is media.lab@umanitoba.ca. So media.lab@umanitoba.ca.
Well, great.
Amazing.
It's a lot of work here. Congratulations on organizing this roster of people to come in.
I've had a lot of help, so yeah.
And I guess a shout out to the Faculty of Arts and
absolutely.
And David Watt for supporting this.
Absolutely, yeah. Shout out to my boss, David Watt. He's been very supportive with this, and, like, you know, he's the lead on the project, so he's working very hard behind. I'm doing all the promotion, but he's working very hard behind the scenes to make all this happen.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's all the time we have for today. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. This is great.
And it'd be great to have you back for other things, Monica. Whenever you want.
Anytime you want.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay.
Stay tuned for Tanya the Brave.
That's right. And just a reminder, just to get everybody primed, you know, Fun Drive is coming up soon, too.
Fun Drive is coming up. We're going to be talking about pre-pledges soon. So keep your eyes and ears peeled. I guess other art things. Lights on the Exchange opens tomorrow.
That's right. You got a piece in it, don't you?
I do.
That's right.
Come check it out.
Yeah.
And with that, I guess we'll have to bid you all adieu.
Okay.